Blog Talk Radio.
I think it just comes down to, like, we don't want more than anyone else. We want the same as everyone else.
Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
The CL3 Creative Table. Thank you for joining in tonight. Really excited to dive in to tonight's topic, and I know that our listeners are going to absolutely walk away with lots of good nuggets of empowerment and being encouraged, inspired, and a newfound sense, we hope, of what self-love looks like for you. So if you're just tuning in, I'm glad that you found us, and if you are a repeat listener, you are truly appreciated. This is our CL3 Creative Table. Is just a table that we built to have positive exchange, where the panelist and myself, we talk about a lot of valuable information, different services and resources that are primarily for the women in business. Whether that means you're thinking about going into business, just started, emerging, elevating, or even highly established, we all need to come to a table. We all need to keep chatting about the things that keep us self-sustained, strengthening our skills. And again, everybody, I believe, walks away with some type of nugget that hopefully encourages them to keep going in the direction or begin going into the direction of positive change, real development. So the circles, our inner empowerment circles, we've been hosting those in person for the last 2-3 years, and we decided to bring them to the internet so that we can reach more women and men. I don't want to exclude the men, because there's a lot of men that work with women or provide services or products. for women. So we just invite these people to our circle, and it's just designed to support the whole initiative of the table, sharing, learning from each other, sharing experiences and knowledge, some which will be book learned, hands-on experience, but a lot of it is where people turned natural talents and gifts into what they do today as a profession. So without further ado, we have our great three panels today. We are notified that Shonda McDill, who really specializes in that storytelling piece that we're going to talk about tonight, notified us she'll be jumping on the call a little bit later. Things ran a little bit longer than she expected, so we'll look forward to introducing her. But we do have Erica, who's also known as the plus size goddess. And everything that I know about Erica, we've known each other for a few years now. Actually, I think a little bit more than five. We'll have to verify that. But it's been some time. And from day one, our connection was the desire and the passion just to simply empower women to feel confident in their own bodies, starting with their mind. So Erica does offer one-on-one coaching as well as small group sessions. And then we're also honored to have Miss Janelle Simmons. Now, Janelle, I can't wait to ask her this, but Janelle is a professional educator. I believe it's higher learning or adult learning. She'll clarify that. But for 15 years, she was an educator and just transitioned into something so beautiful, outgoing, total different world. She actually went on to become a pageant queen, a model, and an author. So I'm really excited to hear what she has to say, because her direct market really is working with the extended size / AKA plus size markets. And she's also known as the curvy doc. So welcome, Erica and Janelle. How are you ladies tonight?
We're doing great. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Glad to be here. Love
and
it.
I'm glad you made it. It's been some time. Erica, that's your voice, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, why don't you go first? Because I have the longest history with you, and I started the introduction with you. Why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself and just tell us on your heart and how this topic resonated with you?
Thank you. Well, first of all, I want to thank all the women for joining us tonight. Yes, me and Carolyn, it has been 5 years since we've met. And when I met her, I was looking for professional help to get out there, because what I've noticed in my market is for us plus size women, our market was small at the time I met Carolyn. Today, it's much bigger on a larger scale, and
yeah.
I've been big all my life, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I just got big. No, I've been big all my life, and I've loved myself all my life, but in the last couple of years, I've just noticed a really good upswing for us big girls, but also, I've also noticed that everybody who tells us they're plus size and on TV tends to lose weight and then leave us. So that's why it's most important that I do what I do. It's just not, you know, you become big, you become famous, and then they lose weight, and then they're not talking to us no more. And that makes women of a plus size feel like, well, is that what I need to do, show myself and then lose weight and someone can see me? And I don't believe it should be like that. That's why I stand firm on, if you love yourself from the inside out, it doesn't matter what size you are, you're beautiful.
I agree. And you bring up a really good point that I never really thought about, and I'm going to come right back to it. After Janelle, you do the same. Introduce yourself, would you please?
Sure. So I am Janelle Simmons, also known as the Curvy Doc, and I have a unique story. I worked in higher education for 15 years. I have a doctorate in higher education and adult learning, so working with college students in various ages was pretty much what I did. and due to organizational changes, lost my job. And while looking for a job, I had one of my sorority sisters that told me about a model call. So that's really how it first started, because everyone said, oh, you should be a model. And me also being big all my life, I said, no, I'm too big. And I used to hate how I looked in the mirror growing up. And I was just like, no, no, no. But I said, you know, I have some time to spare. Give it a shot. So I decided to go to that model call, which was for a local black-owned cosmetics line. And it was a snow. It was snowing that day. And I said, I'm going to still go. And needless to say, I was selected to serve as one of the models for Monique Cosmetics and also a brand ambassador. So from there, just in interacting with different people, I had an opportunity to do some fashion shows. And then I was told that, you know, you should try pageants. You should try pageantry. And I said, they have pageantry for plus-size women, for me? And I said, nah, I don't know. I'll think about it. And lo and behold, I decided life is too short. Let's give it a shot. And that was my first pageant in 2016. And then since then, I've competed a few times. And currently, I am the 2018-2019 American Beauty Plus Woman, which is a national title, and the Queen Eminence of the National Sorority Pageant, which is actually a new pageant, and I am the inaugural queen, which will be held in Atlanta, Georgia in 2020. So I'm just excited to be able to share how I took my self-hate to self-congratulate, really. And I, you know, it took some time, and it put me, you know, modeling and pageantry put me in situations where I stepped out of my comfort zone and had to really, like, dress up and look at myself in the mirror more. And I said, you know what? I really am beautiful. I'm cute. And I became empowered, and I made my pageant platform the third time around when I decided to compete and when I won the national title. I figured, let me change my platform a little bit to focus more on self-love. So my platform is waste does not equal worth. And my goal is to educate, empower, and encourage. So it's my three E's. That's my approach. So one of the things that I've done is blogged. I've blogged some of my experiences as a curvy girl, my triumphs, my failures, my successes, my questions, and I decided to write a book about it called Waste Is Not Equal Worth, The Curvy Doc's Guide to Positive Self-Esteem. And it provides tips on how to get to the point where you love yourself. And it's, you know, available now for pre-orders, and I'm just very excited to be able to share my story and encourage others to get on that journey to self-love.
Well, we're glad, and we are with you in your journey, and we appreciate you, and we want to celebrate with you as well. And I'm glad that you're sharing your story, because simply sharing our stories is what inspires people. You know, we can't get sidetracked with a piece of paper, doctrine, and all of that is great because it's furthering our education, but we can never, I feel it's this human connection. We can't lose that. Mm-hmm. And it definitely comes from when something you're passionate about. Erica, I hear some passion in your voice when you spoke about when people lose weight, you feel like they leave you? What's that all about?
Well, the perfect example, we had Ashley Graham and Monique. We, as big girls, we grabbed onto them. We loved them because they were put in the forefront, and they were our spokesperson as far as being big women out there doing it. But if you look at Ashley Graham now, you look at Monique, and I'm not taking nothing away from neither woman, but they have a tremendous amount of weight. And a lot of us, a lot of women that I know that look up to them have lost their passion because now they feel that they have been left because these women have hit a certain platform and they're no longer big. So is that what, you know, the quote is, you reach a certain status and you must lose weight in order to keep going?
Right. To be in the spotlight and all of that stuff.
To be in the spotlight.
And you bring up.
And it's
yeah,
the
go
truth.
Ahead.
I mean,
yeah,
you have
it
to.
Is.
It's like you said, we have to look at it as a whole, as love. Don't get me wrong. I love Monique. I love what she's done. I love Ashley Graham. And I applaud them for reaching the plateau that they made. But when they first started, their whole thing was, I'm big. Love me for who I am. Take me for who I am, and if not, then get out my way. But now that they're where they're at, they're not talking to us anymore.
And I wonder if that is where therein lies some of the women, excuse me, that you speak with as you're coaching. We all know that role models, people that are high profile, celebrity status, as society calls it, I say it's just high profile. In the public eye, we're holding them up to a certain standard. And not only that, but I can't help but think that's what they wanted to do with their brand. That was their intention, is to connect with the audience that could connect with them. Then we become followers. Then we become fans. And then maybe one of the maybe something that might be missing is when you feel that you're not hearing your story, maybe they're not sharing their journeys of losing weight and talking to you guys. And I say you guys very loosely, but the plus size, extended size is how I'm trying to rebrain my tongue to say, based on something I read when I was preparing for the show, which we'll talk about. But maybe that communication about, hey, my perspective has changed. This is a personal choice, and I choose to lose weight. Come with me on this journey, too. Because I know, in my experience, there's a lot of women that are extended size that aren't hating on small women, but then you got a majority that are hating on when they're smaller. So I guess it's always going to be that, you know, the audience of everybody having the difference. But I still can't help but hear that there's a lack of self-love to some degree. Am I wrong, Janelle? What do you have to say about that?
I don't know if it's necessarily always a lack of self-love. I think, particularly when you think of some of our higher profile celebrities like Monique, she capitalized on being plus size. You know, she did the jokes, skinny women are evil. And I even purchased her books, I'll be honest. But I think, you know, and I could be wrong, I think there's some, you know, those, some people who are in that industry that feel in order to not always be typecasted a particular way in movies and television shows that they have to change their look. And I truly think, you know, Monique might have, I think, was one of those where she wanted to change her look, wanted to not always be typecasted as the large, loud woman. And she did receive backlash as a result. You know, as, you know, Erica had talked about, you know, they just seem to now ignore us, and it's no longer skinny women are evil. And the plus size community was the population that really helped her get to where she was because of those jokes. And, you know, I sometimes think when it comes to the almighty dollar, sadly to say, people make those changes and forget how they got to where they were, or pretty much biting the hand that feeds them, you know, that fed them, and that's just more for lack of a better term. I do know there's other people that have health issues that have had to lose weight, and I can't fault them for that. I think, you know, everyone just has their reasons, but I do believe because of the almighty dollar and wanting to be taken out of a particular stereotype and wanting to be seen more and make more money, that losing weight is what they saw as their last resort. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I agree. Erica, so now when you're coaching these women, talk to us a little bit without, you know, revealing anybody's personal stories that you don't want to, but like, how do you redirect? How do you work with these women? What are you saying to these women? Because I happen to know personally for you that the inner beauty is what you work on with your clients first. And then you also extend that to helping them with their, you know, yes, your outer appearance is important. So what, because that's a changing mindset. That's a change in mindset. So what can a session look like with you, or a couple of sessions?
Well, first, my thing is you have to let go of these stars. You have to remember what you just called them, stars. Honey, they're in a totally different category than we are. They're stars. And it's like Ms. D said, Monique capitalized off of us. So first I have to desensitize them, because if that's who you're looking up to, then you're never going to love yourself. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know Monique's story. We don't know her journey, and it's really sad because her first journey was, I'm big, skinny women are evil. So we were all on that bandwagon, so we don't know why she did that. So that's my first thing. If that's what you're coming in for, to figure out why Monique did what she did and not figure out what you did, then you're in the wrong space already. Then we have to figure, yeah, you are, because if your first thing, you sit down and we recognize that you're a big girl and this is what you love, and you tell me everything that you've been doing, and you end with, because you know when Monique did it, time out.
Right. That's a red flag to you.
Yep, that's a red flag right there.
You're already going in your mind.
Yeah,
you're already in
the wrong mindset.
Yeah.
You sat here and you told me your story, but you want to end with Monique. First of all, time out. That's a red flag, sweetie. We're not going to do Monique. I'm not with Monique, and you're not Monique. So
right.
once we get that handled, and I feel that you understand that, then it's the work. But see, that's the problem with a lot of big girls in the work. No one wants to tell their truth on why, how they got big, or why they got big. Is there molestation? Did your mother not love you enough? Did you not have the upbringing that you wanted, and you ate yourself that way? Or you just, once we desensitize that, most of the time when it comes to big girls trying to figure out who and what they are, we have to let everything go. And when I mean everything, you have to let the kids go, you have to let the husband go, have to let your job go, because it's none of their fault. This is all in a work. And it does take a couple of sessions, because a lot of us as big girls, we want to put a Band-Aid on it, get the quick fix. You know, you used to work in a garment district. You could be my personal shopper. Yeah, I could put you in a whole bunch of beautiful clothes, sweetheart. I could take you to the best hairstylist. But, sweetheart, when you take them clothes off, you're still that same person that look in the mirror. And
right.
Them clothes come off.
Well,
so all the prettiness that you put on the outside is not going to heal on the inside. So we work on that. We work on counseling as far as being molested. We work on counseling as far as, you know, a lot of people don't know about chakras. They are real. You have to work. You have to get them in alignment. But the biggest problem that I face as being a counselor and a coach with big girls is self-love. They do not love their self when they first sit in my chair, because what they consider love is not love at all.
Yeah,
and if they go out with their friends and their friends acknowledge them, that's it. But that's not self-love. Self-love starts with you. And if you're looking for someone to tell you they love you every day and that's your self-love, then you're in trouble already.
You know, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was going to say, now this is where it can get generalized no matter what your size is. I believe as women, we struggle with that period. And Janelle,
absolutely.
Did you have an experience of, were you always on the heavier side?
Always, even from grade school, I was always the last, you know, person to be picked in PE, you know, because of my size. I may not necessarily have been athletic in, you know, looking at me, but I could run, I ran fast, you know, but, you
right.
know, it was, I was always the heavier. It's so funny because I think about one of the first times I, you know, one of my first modeling opportunities was a competition. It was a modeling competition. I was the only plus size model in the entire competition.
Wow.
And of
Whoa.
Course I didn't place. And I was looking at my memories on Facebook today, and it's just so appropriate that we're having this conversation because I remember posting, you know, that I may not have won, I may not have placed, but I still won. I gave full-figured women a voice tonight. My job here is done.
Yes.
That was my status three years ago today. You know,
wow,
I
love it.
And it's true. I think when it comes to a lot of these opportunities, you know, when I sometimes, you know, submit for things, I am sometimes the bigger one, even though there's other plus size models that might participate and, you know, apply. I'm not a 14. I'm a 20, you know, so, you know, you think about that.
That.
So so a lot of times I am that heavier person, but I still win regardless. Because
you win
because
you automatically show up.
Exactly. Because I'm helping someone who looks like me who probably would have not tried it had it not been for me to go out there.
Yeah, sometimes you got to be the first one to break the mold.
Exactly.
And that's the impact that you have, ladies. Just like those high-profile celebrities that we call them, is the same kind of impact and influence. And before we get on the topic of the terminology, because you even, Janelle, just brought up the size, I know that the fashion industry has gone up and down, or I've read. I don't know. I'm not heavily immersed in it, so I can't say it's gone up and down. But from what I read, the sizes, was size 12 considered too big? I mean, look at Cindy Crawford. She was considered a plus size model, and we're all looking at her like, what? That's average. That was average.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went up, and now I know that they call 16 and up. They're trying to change the dialogue to you being extended size. I understand it. I mean, it's logical because with the movement, which, by the way, Janelle, you made a quote somewhere. You said that body positivity is not just a change. You made reference that it's a movement.
It is.
Right?
It really is.
And what you ladies are talking about, that movement starts within. So I don't even want people to walk away from this getting caught up with size. That was one of the things that I wanted to make sure was understood. My reason for taking this topic on and specifically talking to the women that are fuller, curvy, I say extra curvy sometimes, voluptuous, extended size, we cannot get caught up in the terminology, okay? Knowing yourself, you know if you're a big girl, you know if you're a skinny girl, because I'm going to have a show on the skinny girls. I think you'd be surprised how many of the really thin girls suffer from some of the same insecurities, some of the same self-doubt, some of the same issues of self-love. So that means to me it's really not even about a size at the end of the day. So,
and it's funny, can I just interject for a second? Because Dove, I don't know if you know Dove has done a big push on self-love.
Yes.
You know, they have a whole website that focuses on it, their marketing campaign. But they've been doing studies, and their last study, if I remember correctly, they showed, based on the women that they've studied, all different sizes, over half do not love themselves. And as a result, they avoided seeing their friends and family. They didn't attend outings. And actually, from some of, because, you know, I really read up on it, 7 out of 10 stopped themselves from eating and would put themselves at risk.
Wow. That's a high number. And
very
I believe
high
it.
Number.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, I think it's because so many women, though, and we are influenced, and all of us, again, no matter what size, it just happens to be one of our traits. Guys, you know, tend to not care less as much as we do as women. And I that's a DNA thing or a genetics thing that we can talk about another day. But what matters is that women realize that there really is tools, tips, techniques, so that you can get out of that frame of mind and that mindset, self-doubt, because that is a number one squasher. Now, something you said, Erica, in the beginning when you introduced, when you were talking about the high-profile people and their brand, and then I mentioned, I was like, well, that sounds like what they intended to do. That was their brand. Everything at this table ties into women in business. How do we tie that into being women in business? Because what we do at this table is encourage people to get in touch with their natural talents and gifts and become creative. Whether you're a financial planner, your strategy can use some creativity. Whether you're a yoga instructor, your strategy, your business dealings could use some creativity. And that is where we tie in storytelling to this, which we just got our third wonderful panelist chiming in. Is that you, Shonda?
Yes. Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm so sorry to be late. I had a series of projects that ran over on the wrong day because I was looking forward to this.
Oh, well, you coming in right at the meat. Don't you dare apologize. We were going with the flow, and I learned a long time ago half of this is just being prepared. And that is why I take my time out to really select my guests, because I need people that have the passion. Because this isn't a scripted, you know, chat. This is us chatting about what's really important and what we know and what you bring to the table, because together we bring some power to the table. So I'm just so thankful, Shonda, you know, that you were able to make it. But yes, the ladies, Janelle and Erica, are on the line as well.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hello. How are you? Welcome.
Now, Shonda, before we get into even introducing you, because once I introduce you, I'm going to have you introduce yourself, but I want you to flow right into your expertise. I have a question for you, but before we do that, I want to take right here this one moment. Erica and Janelle, since we were the three talking about this, and I'll chime you in, Shonda, at this point, what kind of nugget would you give the audience? Because we've talked about a few things, but it all is still the core of it centered on the self-love and the importance. Say something really quick in a sentence or two, and what would you say, Erica, to the people that you want them to walk away with a nugget about the topic of self-love?
Oh, it's me? Oh, I'm sorry. If I had to give them one nugget about self-love, I would say conquer your inner fear first. If you can conquer your inner fear, self-love will come flowing out. It's just a fear thing of loving oneself.
And that's a lot of layers to that. And that's where someone like you comes in to really make a difference in someone's life, having those one-on-one, because that's building trust. When you have a personal coach or someone that's working with you, you build a relationship, an emotional connection. So the more you feel comfortable, the more you share. And the more you share, the more you feel like you're releasing. The more you will notice your shoulders go back, your head is held higher, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you look at things, the thinking process, all of it. So my definitely support that to reach out to a coach. Find one that's the right fit for you. But stop thinking about the money. Think about what you need and what you're trying to do. And if you've tried everything else and it's not working, then try something else. I'm sure these lovely ladies would be willing to work with you if you reached out and asked them. Now,
but if we feed off your topic, stop worrying about the money. I don't think it's so much the money. We as women, especially Black women, have to let go of the fear of asking for help.
Yes.
That's
mm-hmm.
one of our biggest blocks. We swear we know everything that we will not go out there and ask someone who knows better than we do for the help. If we got out of that, I believe the money would not play a part in us really healing ourselves.
Great point. Janelle, what kind of advice would you give to wrap up the topic of the self-love and confidence?
Sure. So I would definitely say watch your words, because words carry so much weight.
Woo-hoo.
You know,
tell them.
Yes. Watch your words. One quote that I really love is, remember your words can plant gardens or burn whole forests down. And it is so true. When we speak the negative energy is there. That's what comes out. That aura is around you. And, of course, when you speak the positive, things change. Self-affirmations are so powerful.
Yes.
And I think, you know, it's, you know, one more than those in a day. So it's not like, okay, you just look in the mirror and say, I'm beautiful, and automatically you say you feel you're beautiful.
Right.
It's a process. But once you start saying those positive affirmations regularly, then you begin to believe it, and you're right. Oh, I am.
Right.
And yes, watching your words, the tongue is a powerful tool.
Yeah, and Shonda, that's a great part for you to come in, because storytelling is taking words, but being an art director, and I'm going to let you introduce yourself, there's definitely all types of creative ways to tell a story, because the stories are words just depicted, right, in a visual. So go ahead and introduce yourself first, Shonda, and then you dive into you know the topic we're talking. We're definitely talking to our extended size women tonight, but how that ties into, because we self-love, you've heard us talking about the body shaming, body positivity. We've been talking nuggets, and we could go with the flow of the conversation. And if anybody wants to just randomly say something that's on your mind, by all means do. But how does that tie into storytelling and your experience in the art world?
Well, I think I'm not going to take a lot of time to tell my bio. I will just say most of my life I just tried to serve wherever I am. And so I think that, you know, what I would want people to know more than anything, rather than where I've been or what I've done, is that wherever I've been, I try to find what the need is and meet a need for others. And that is how I think my career has progressed. Because it didn't start with just trying to figure out how I can be bigger or better. But I currently work at the Hines Endowments as a program officer for arts and culture. And I also have a theater company that produces productions and different presentations that are meant to make known the messages of the marginalized. To answer your question specifically, I will say that I'm just so inspired listening to the other women speak, and I think that it is important to tell your own story first before you can even begin to tell a story theatrically, or because what you're trying to find in all work is this aspect of trust. I heard someone mention and humanity, and I think you only get to that when you're willing to be vulnerable, when you're willing to ask for help, as people said, when you're willing to do your own work and healing, you can find your own story and then be a better storyteller. And I think that that's where it starts. I would just say all those things do tie into storytelling, because good storytellers are very much in touch with their humanity and very much in touch with the needs of others and why their humanity can touch other people. And find that link that we all have in some area.
Yeah, I
like
agree.
That.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And it ties into what Erica, you were, I think it was you that was saying, or we all were touching on it, but releasing, letting go is a big part of that, being able to get in touch with what your story is. And then, like you said, those are the steps that come before you can even reinvent yourself or expand your mind to go in a certain direction. I mentioned that we talked about self-love and confidence, but confidence is a whole nother conversation too, because it does, confidence is built off of that self-love. Like, self-love is that true, really the first step, you know, that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
I want to switch gears, guys, and I want to go into, but I got to come back to the storytelling, because I believe we need to teach, okay, let me slow down. Before I jump into other topics, since we're talking about storytelling, let me stay right here.
Yeah.
You've worked with a lot of people in being in a theater,
yeah.
Shawnda.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The sense of what's real and what's not is a blurry line.
Right.
To people, right?
Well, even when something is real, there are different versions of what's real and what's not, right?
That's
so
true.
We're not even any longer in a situation where people are like, is this fact or fiction? We're in a situation where people are comparing levels of truth, whether that's in the news, whether that's in Ava DuVernay's When They See Us on Netflix right now that everyone's talking about, whether that's in a stage production that's just somewhere that only a few people are seeing on the stage. It's all about perspective. And so that's why that healing piece and loving oneself piece is so important, because once we've been hurt and we carry that hurt and we haven't healed and we haven't done our own work on ourselves to just be better, it doesn't mean you're ever going to be perfect. It's a constant journey, right? But if you're doing that work, and I think people recognize that, you recognize other people who are doing it and there's safety in that. And then you do feel like you can ask for help and you do feel like you can open up. Because I think it's not that people don't want to or women don't want to. I think they've been hurt when they did. And so how do you protect yourself and yet still be courageous? How do you be confident when you feel tired and beat down, right? And I think that for me, I can't say for anybody else, for me, my confidence really, to be honest, is in Christ. I think that eliminates it for me, because then I don't have to worry about my own skill. I don't have to worry about my perfection. I can walk into the room and say God goes before me. The Holy Spirit is going before me. And so when I'm weak, he's going to be strong for me. And so for me, that's where my confidence is, so that I can boast in what he's done and not necessarily solely in the things that I accomplished. Although I think it is also healthy to say, God, thank you for using me. You did that. I'm so grateful that I was able to utilize the skills you've given me to accomplish that goal. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you have to dig into a higher source of power to accomplish some of the things that we're talking about, changing mindsets. And then that's what I mean is once you, it's like this release party. Once you do tap into that part of yourself and you realize all the beautiful things about yourself, all the talents you have, I would think even you could see this in the progression of artists or no matter what kind, they perfect over time because they're just falling in love again with what they do, what's natural, what's passion. And, of course, it does help when you go into business and you are able to bring in revenue based off of your talent. That's a major confidence booster. Janelle, you can relate to that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Erica, your work is as a coach, but, Janelle, you have some tangible products. You mentioned your book. Where are you going anyway, Janelle? What is your direction, if I can just ask at this interjection, to keep winning pageants? I know that you said you had an enlightening moment, and you said you wanted to do more with your platform.
Yes, I did. I really wanted to do more because I realized that, you know, and it has been mentioned here so far about being able to tell your story, and that storytelling is so important. So I started with my blog, you know, to start telling my story, and I decided through my book to start telling my story. And in terms of doing more pageants, only time will tell. One thing that I would love to do is, to continue to, help those struggling to love themselves, mentor those who are interested in pageantry, if that's something they want to pursue. So, you know, coaching, speaking to different groups and organizations, and really helping men, women, you know, our teenagers, start that journey to self-love, and letting them know what's available and how they can get there too. Because so many of us, I mean, the study I just shared from Dove, a national well-known brand, is saying this. And it's a huge problem, and I'm seeing it more and more through social media. Social media, oh my goodness, the things that we're seeing on Facebook and Twitter, you know, people are being bullied because of their size. You know, there's different pictures and things that, you know, people are laughing at that talk about weight and size, and they do hurt people's feelings.
Yeah, that's so really, the power.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. The thing went out. I thought you were done. The really, what were you going to say?
No, you know, just like it really is just, it's just gotten so much worse because now we're in that, you know, social media age now. You know, and I think it's really intensified. And it might have been a similar problem. You know, it probably just didn't know about it because the internet wasn't there. Facebook and Twitter and Instagram wasn't there. You know,
I love what you're saying, though. You said about relationships, because when you said mentorship and bringing other young people, I think we have to do that more and more in order to combat that. I think the only thing that can conquer what's going on in that imaginary world are real tangible relationships. So at this point in my career, I feel like when I'm invited into a room, I'm trying to bring two or three other young people with me. If I'm invited to some sort of conference, who else? What? Okay, well, can I bring two people and pay for their ticket? It may be $10, $15, whatever it is. Can I bring them? Because at this point, I feel like I'm only going into rooms in order to be a conduit to bring other people who can then have real tangible relationships with other women who can feed into them, who are all about elevating and helping them to really have a true image of themselves that's not on the internet. And I think
Absolutely.
That's the real, like, way to come that.
Well, I mean, that's the truth about the internet, but where I have changed my perspective, and it's because of what I just recently went through with my daughter. My focus now is on mothers, because like Janelle said, the internet has become ugly, and every day that I wake up and I see another baby die by the hands of its mother or its mother's boyfriend, and I believe that the goddesses and everything has talked to me, that's where I needed at. Because if we don't heal, and I don't care what size they are, what color they are, if we don't heal these women now, these mothers and boyfriends are going to kill more kids than anybody we know. Every day there is a woman who hooks up with a man, and for the sake of or else, we don't know why she's hooked up with him, but now her baby's dead. And that's where my focus is. Not that I... have any, you know, any problem as far as big girls. I believe they are loved, and I believe there's a lot of love out there for them. But my thing is I have to catch them, because if not, the father up above is going to get a lot of babies he didn't call for if we don't stop. And I mean starting with the teen moms and these older moms. Between these teen moms carrying their dead babies in their bag, going shopping, and these mothers hooking up with these men killing these babies, or these mothers who are on the internet talking about they overstressed, they can't do it, and dropping these babies off and doing it, it has to be worked out. And a relationship has to be made. Just like all of us is on this thing talking, it has to get bigger on a bigger platform.
Right. And we're going to keep going. That's the sisterhood. That's the sisterhood, because at this creative table right here, the four of us, we all have different personalities. We have a lot of similarities in what's important to us and what we've chosen to make part of our purpose. Well, whether we chose it, it's part of our purpose in helping. I think we all walk into our purpose each journey. So we learn new things about ourselves. We learn new things about our power. We learn new things about how your voice is supposed to be used. And the beauty is you can have fun along the way too, because I much rather be in a room full of confident women that love themselves.
Yep.
I couldn't care less if you were shining, blinging, the best looking one. What's the best looking one?
Absolutely.
You know? What is that?
Absolutely.
That's so much beauty in this room. It's ridiculous. But you know the difference of being in a room with women that just aren't loving themselves. You're like, man, are you just mad at the world? You can't give a compliment to that woman that you know looks beautiful. You want to go backstab. Mm-hmm. You want to talk. You want to get catty. You are so right. We've got to stop that. My granddaughter is 6 years old, and I won't get too sidetracked because I could talk about her for her own show. I got three of them. But me and the mother were just talking of her friends, because they're 6, 7. I think the oldest one is 8 in the group. But we're watching some of the tendencies changing, you know, from being outside and being around other people, kids, and different habits of being picked up that aren't so necessarily nice. So we're squashing it. We're addressing it. And I find myself having to sit those girls down and have a talk with some. At one point, my daughter must have been a teenager. I'm having talks with 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds that I didn't have until my daughter was a teenager. Of course,
but it's like Janelle said, it's because of the technology that we have out here today. Even if you don't allow it in your home, her friend in school mama allows it. So she's going to get it anywhere.
Right.
That's why today you have to start when they're 2, 3, and 4. To when I was growing up, my grandma didn't have to snatch me till I was 15.
Right. And this is why
I agree.
You agree.
I agree that it's more prevalent and you can access it more easily. But I clearly remember, and I don't know everyone's age, but I remember being in sixth grade and my friends having sex. I remember the bullying. I remember fighting. I remember so much. You know, for me, I would just like to say I really feel that there is nothing new under the sun. And I really feel like clearly we know the suicide rate is going up. Clearly we know there's an increase. Like, there is data, and that is clear. And it is more prevalent because of the internet. But what I would like us to stop doing is stop counting bodies and really understand the war between light and dark that is going on in our world. Because I think that we keep trying to fight darkness and not really, and this goes back to that, relationship, the truth, speaking the truth in love, mentoring, showing people what true love and light looks like. Because I think if we dwell on the disparity and we dwell on those things, not necessarily not listening to people, you have to listen. But I think if we're kind of just getting so caught up in the despair of it, sometimes I feel it disarms us of our power to simply be light and walk into situations and watch them transform.
Yeah, there's the power of those words again. Now, on that note, let's switch it up. how does all this tie into having that sense of belonging? Do you ladies believe that you cannot have a sense of belonging until you've tackled this self-love? I think we can all agree on that. So when you talk about, let's talk about that positivity of it. Let's show the light of it. I believe, would I be wrong to think that that means we need to share techniques, what worked for your individual situation, right?
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right on that. I mean, if we can shine a light on how we got where we are, I believe a whole lot of other women would join us. If they knew what was on the other side of darkness, that this what light looks like, baby, we could have us an army.
Right. So what do we
and
do?
And light doesn't look like more money. And light doesn't look like position. Light looks
right.
like peace.
There you go.
Light looks like joy. Light looks like I would have 5 years ago had a different response to what you just did, but I today can maybe have a more well-rounded, you know, more healthy response to that thing. You
there
know what
you
I'm saying?
Go.
I think that that's the other thing. I think what light to me looks like, it doesn't mean I like nice things. You know what I'm saying? I don't think we have to be poor, and that's not the mentality that I want to keep in our community, right? We have 200 or more years of wealth that we have the right to catch up on in this nation, but I do think that if we focus on building our character back to who we were and understand our history on this Juneteenth day, and if we really talk about what the truth is of our experiences, don't look at, you know, Shonda at Hines, but do you know my testimony of the darkness, right? And to the sister's point, you got to talk about that truthfully so that you understand, oh, you're not just talking about light and never had no darkness. You didn't have it easy, right? You grew up in the same situation I grew up in. You know some of the same challenges. You did that. Oh, you did that, right? Those things that shame us, but being able to really free ourselves of those things and heal so that we can share that with other people. And I think that that right there is the best help people, women have given me, is to be honest and tell me the truth.
That's that vulnerability.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
That's
vulnerability.
Yes, it is. It's the vulnerability. It's able to wear your shirt on the inside out. And it all comes down to doing the work. And I think once a woman knows her worth and she's done her work, she can empower anyone she comes in contact with without saying a word.
Mm-hmm.
Just by looking at her, if you've lived around her or worked around her and she has seen that switch, you will know what light looks like because you know what dark looks like by looking at her.
Mm-hmm. That is so powerful. That is so true. Let's be vulnerable for a minute, ladies. I'll start. Let's share one, whether it's a tip, what did you do? Think back to maybe some of your darkest times or when you were going through the process of building your own confidence and your own self-love. We all have had our own struggles at different times in our lives. For me, I know one of my toughest in my whole lifetime was when I was going back and forth with my daughter. We were just hitting the brick wall somewhere. It smooths out and then it would get better. I think I talked about her last week, very briefly, how we recently had another falling out. And she's almost 30 now. And it is starting to bother me in a way that it never has before. And I believe the reason is I'm looking at her now. She's a young woman with her own child. And I don't want to continue any negative cycle of how I'm communicating. I have got to just keep eating this humble pie, and I will eat it till the cows come home. Last week, after our last fight, I specifically looked up the title, How Do You Mend Broken Relationships with Your Daughter? And all, of course, all these video options came up. Don't you know the very first one I clicked on, in the very first few sentences, was my message, was my answer. I had no idea that I had been shaming my daughter to try to elicit change in her. So body shaming is one component to shaming. Somebody, I think it was you, Shonda, that used the word, we can't use shaming. That's why this topic. So now I am applying that in my life. So over the years, I've always kept this journal. Writing helps me. And I know that it's a great way that me and my daughter have learned over the years to communicate, because she's a beautiful, beautiful woman, a young woman, beautiful. Of course, there's things as mom that you always want the absolute best for your children. And I just want, you know, I get this fear. Don't listen to the knuckleheads. Listen to your mama, I'm telling you. But I'm learning, you know. But my technique to anybody that might be listening, how did I get to those self-love? That was something I was starting to feel guilt. Like, is there a problem? What went wrong with my relationship? You know, all that kind of stuff. You start doubting. You start questioning yourself. So I had to check myself and look in my resources of self-love, self-empowerment, forgiveness, and also eat that humble pie, that truckload. No longer will I shame my daughter into trying to make some changes that I know are positive for her. So that's my personal story. I'm going to come to you, Janelle.
Sure. So one of my most vulnerable moments was forming relationships and more intimate relationships, feeling at one point in my life that I needed to be validated by someone else, you know, someone of the opposite sex. And I looked for it in the wrong places. And finding men that said to me, oh, you're beautiful, but I never dated someone like you before. I dated someone who looked more like Selma Hayek. And that was something that was said to me. And I was like, okay. But because I was so wanting to be, you know, cared about, because I didn't love myself, and that was one of those things that was mentioned, you know, I was looking for it somewhere else, but not within myself. And there was one moment where I tried to be cute and sexy for the person I was seeing, only to be laughed at. Only to be laughed at. And it wasn't, they said it wasn't that they were laughing at me, they were laughing with me, but I don't see what was funny. You know, there was really nothing funny at the time, but I stuck around because I just figured, you know, who else would want to be with me? So I had to eventually let go of that negative energy. I had to let go anything that related to, you know, any negative energy. Anyone who said something negative, oh, that's not what, I'm not your type. Okay, then that's fine. You have a nice day. No longer am I marketing myself for someone if they don't really care about me. You know, I know my worth now. But there was a time where I put myself in situations just because I wanted to feel wanted and feel sexy. And here was someone who I thought, you know, and they, made me feel like I thought I was sexy because they expressed interest. So I kept them around, because if I left them, at the time, then who else would, you know, who else would love me? Who else would care about me? So that took some time. That took a few years for me to really figure out. And now I let it all go. I let all that negativity from people go. You know, now when I form relationships, you know, whether it be intimate or non-intimate relationships with folks, I really ask some questions and really, you know, and I said, and I hate to say, I sometimes give a disclaimer, not to, you know, be overbearing, but just let them know who I am, what my worth is. These are my expectations, because I never used to be clear at all, because I just wanted the attention. So now it's like you're on the bus or you're off the bus, and then I keep it moving. No, I said a lot, but it was.
No, it's beautiful because that's intentionally dating. I love it. A whole nother topic.
Yeah, I have to be
come
more
back
intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Erica, share with us, if you will.
Okay, my situation is about 2 years ago, I had got hit by a van. And you know how they say your life flashed in front of you? My life didn't flash in front of me. What I could be doing flashed in front of me. And I remember laying in the middle of the street crying because I had put so much emphasis on what other people would say about me living my truth. And a lot of it was on my kids. And I had to stop looking at my kids for validation. Even though I had them, it wasn't their job to validate their mother. And I learned that laying on my back for 2.5 months, that it doesn't matter whether it's my kids, whether it's my best friend, whether it's my boss, it doesn't matter. How I feel and how I want to live is my choice. And if you don't like it, then guess what? You don't have to be in my circle. You don't have to be here. I had to stop looking at my kids as little kids and look at them for the adults they are and the decisions they make. And I'm looking at them like, I actually gave you that enough in your life to make your decision to be who you is. Why can't I give that to myself? So that's what I worked on the whole year of me getting back to walking, working on living in my truth and not giving a damn about who liked it, who didn't like it. And no longer am I letting anyone. And that goes for my kids, too. You will not speak to me in the way you feel you should. Because if it's not in a loving way when you speak to me, then you can't be speaking to me. This, what I've learned after being hit and in these 2 years of growing and loving myself is that I'm important. What I say matters, and if you don't like it, then we don't have really nothing for us to talk about. I no longer rely on what people say. I no longer wait on people anymore. I do what I have to do, and if, you know, if you like it, then beautiful. If you don't, you're entitled to your own opinion. But that was the hardest thing for me, because when I was coming up, I was everything I wanted to do, I was told no. And you don't fit the mold. You can't do it. So when you grow up, that's what you do. You just grow up and you try to fit in the mold. I don't want to fit in nobody's mold. I wasn't born to fit in anybody's mold. I was born to walk in my truth. And some people don't like my truth. Well, you know what? That's good. But this is my truth and this is how I'm going to live. And like I said, it even includes my kids. I've been looking at my kids as babies. Oh, they're babies. No, these are, one is a grown woman and one is 15 years old. So at the end of the day, when you're grown and you're out of here, I'm the one that's left with me. So if I'm the one that has to be here and be inside of me, I'm going to be who I truly want to be. And if you don't like it, then it is what it is. We'll figure out how to make it work, but do not expect me to dumb myself down because I did that for so long. And laying in the middle of the street on your back after being hit and not dying, you have a choice. You can either die with this accident, let this accident run you, you get Social Security and you stop living, or when these ambulances come get you, this can be the first day of many days of your life to start living the life that you were meant to live. And that's what I chose.
And I'm so glad you did, and I like you. Shonda, you want to share?
Woo! I'm over here just so moved by the testimony.
I am too.
Oh, my goodness. I want to find the man who said what he said to my sister over there. And then I also want to find, you know, just hug Erica. Like, I don't know. I just feel so moved.
That's all right. You hugging me right now. You are hugging me right now.
I think, you know, I'm going to be really transparent because it's something that I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm even over yet. It is something that I'm currently struggling with, but I know now the answer and some practical things that I have to do. And it kind of, it's around finances, but it's also around control, really, is what it's around. And so what I want to start out by saying is when I was younger, when you don't grow up with much, there is no such thing really as a budget. Right, you're kind of like, I mean,
girl,
a budget is something new in my 30s and 40s. Like, when you grow up, you are doing the best you can with what you have, and often that means, you know, my mother raising me as a single mother and being an entrepreneur my entire life, it was always about what had to wait until you could do whatever was most pressing at that time, and so. Now being married, I realize that I've taken that mentality. You know, for me, for somebody, you know, $10 may not seem like anything. If there's like $10 in my account, I'm like, look, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Nothing's bouncing. You know, I have food in the refrigerator. And I know, like, you know, God has quickly promoted me to a place where I make a nice amount of money. But the reality is I have debt from making poor choices in my past, right? And it's not because I don't value what I have. It's just that, like, when you're not raised with something, you don't understand how it works. And I think that I want to tie it into this notion of, like, also filling your personal voids with purchasing things or food. For me, it was food or buying things and not understanding how to wait. And I think, so if you did get a little extra, sometimes life was so tough, you're buying treats. Or the women in my family, you get together and eat together, right? So you're spending money on food and eating. We could have chose maybe to go walk together, right? But that wasn't the ritual that was in my family. And so now that I'm married, I have to think about it because I have someone else and I have bonus kids in my life who, you know, there are consequences if I make choices to just make myself feel better with these things, be it money, financial spending things, or spending money that you shouldn't, or eating things that you shouldn't, and it affecting your health, right? And so I remember being really young, and it all ties into just, like, my emotions and how I felt about myself. I remember being young and just really wanting to commit suicide, like, just being young and feeling like there was darkness surrounding me, and in my room, I would literally feel like there were spirits in my room or just darkness, you know, and feeling foggy and not being able to encourage myself. And I think instead of, and what created then was a pattern of spending things to make me feel better or eating things to make me feel better. And what I have learned now, and I'm not going to give a really, it is all rooted in a spiritual kind of like faith walk, and I'm grateful, but I want to give people practical things also. And I think what I learned now is, you know, find some things that make you happy that don't cost anything. You know, sometimes you just need to go sit by the water and meditate. Sometimes you just need to pick up the phone and call a friend who may be struggling in some area and get your mind off your own worries and stop ruminating about your own stuff. And I think there was a piece of this that was so self-centered that in this stage of my life, I feel like the answer is interdependence or working with other people. And the reason why that emotional journey is also a financial journey, because when you talk about being able to be open and work with other people and put other people before yourself and to think about the needs of others, there is also a financial principle attached to that. And I have found that increase has come in my life and wealth and resources, even if not monetary, in a way that has never been before because of my not remaining insulated, ruminating about what was negative, allowing things to take over my mind and then force me to spend money I didn't have or eat things that I shouldn't. And so all of that is kind of tied in, but what I've taken from it is the ability to say, okay, I see myself getting into this pattern of thinking, ruminating really hard on things, which means I'm going to want to go out and buy some shoes, or I'm going to want to go get some honey. But, like, I'm going to do something to address that. And instead I have to say, Shonda, who is a friend that you haven't called who's going through something that you can call and reach out to? Who could you pray for right now? Or can you just get up and get in the car and go drive and sit by the water and look at the beauty of something that doesn't cost anything for you to enjoy, right? And so I think that that's something I'm starting to learn how to practice more and more, not only because I'm accountable to more people who are impacted by my decisions as a woman, but also because there is a life that I want to live and a legacy, multi-generational legacy that I want to leave for those who are coming behind me, that, so that they won't have to struggle with some of the same things that I did. So that's something that I'm in now and dealing with and just believing that I'm going to continue to change my behavior daily.
That's what it is. It's daily practices. And you're going to have a whole beautiful new story this time next year. We had, right, Janelle has a story 3 years ago. Who knew? Today is the same very day that she made a post in relation to this conversation. So we already know. Mm-hmm. I think everybody at this table understands the power of God and how that it infiltrates many components in our life. So you got this. Mm-hmm. And we'll be hearing a whole different story. Probably go the opposite way, have about 10 bank accounts next time we talk to you.
Exactly. I would see that.
Well, we're going to wrap it up, ladies. This has been a really great conversation, but I don't even think I have to. I usually summarize. I don't even think I need to do that. What I am going to do, if you give me 1 second, I just, of course, got a tickle in my throat. Excuse me. Oh, bad timing. Excuse me. If there was a book that was written about you and the book happened to be destroyed, so now the author is going to sit you down and they ask you, we're going to rewrite this book. What is the impact that you want me to write down or take note that you left this world? Sean, I'm going to start with you, and we're going to work our way back around.
All right. Now, help me one more time. So there's a book that I wrote.
Yep. And it's gone.
And then,
it got destroyed. Yep.
Okay. And
so
then
now,
I have to summarize to you what it was about so that you know what it was about.
No, I want to know because now the new author is going to write down and he's interviewing you and asking you, what do I write down was the impact that you, Shonda, left with the world?
Oh, wow.
You want me to start on the other side?
No, I'm going to go. I'm just going to speak it, and I'm going to trust what is in my gut. Because what came to my mind is the impact was to do it afraid. That is one of the first books I read by Joyce Meyer, so I know that that would be in my testimony, which is stepping out and not ignoring the fear you have, but acknowledging it, but saying there's something greater for me that I know is for me. And so despite my emotions and what I feel, I'm going to go ahead and move forward anyway. And so that impact will be people moving in their purpose despite the visible obstacles that they see, knowing that, as Audre Lorde once said, we were never meant to survive. Our lives here are temporal. So if you're not doing something and speaking something, then you're still going to be in your position feeling the same way without having ever tried to do whatever it is your purpose to do. So for me, it would be seeing people move even in fear toward purpose and advancing in their lives.
Just show up, right? Just show up.
Show up.
Erica?
Show up. Mine would be, that's hard. I'm Mine would be, hold that. You know what? Mine would be, listen, my impact would be, if I had to leave anything left, is try it all. Don't be afraid. Mm. Try it all. Don't let no one tell you ever in your life that what you were seeking was not meant for you because you don't fit the mold. That's their opinion. If you believe that you should sing, if you believe that you're an engineer, if you believe that you are that motivational speaker, that person who can change the world, try it. Go for it. Whatever it is, never be afraid to try what's on your heart. That would be my impact.
I'm moved. I'm definitely moved because I'm a firm believer of that as well. Janelle, how about you?
So for me, what would I leave? Leaving some, giving people the opportunity to feel safe in their own skin, to feel worthy, to speak life into themselves, knowing that they are enough.
Okay.
And that's the period after that. Exactly. Okay. And that's it. Short and sweet. That's why I said this is one show. I do not feel I need to wrap it up, summarize, or anything. I just want to say a very sincere and deep thank you to you ladies. I feel like I just went to a support group. I am walking away so inspired, so thankful, so grateful to meet ladies like you virtually. One, I've had the pleasure of meeting in person, but I hope it's in our purpose, our walks of purpose, to hug each other physically one day, because I can imagine the strength that would be empowered or sent over, electrified to my body from all of you ladies, because if I feel it from virtual waves, and we are taking these inner empowerment circles back on the road. I just wanted to do it this way this year, and I'm so glad that we have, and I'm so thankful you guys made time and you were able to join us at the creative table. Ladies, it's been a good one. It's been draining. I hope everybody gets some rest. A positive draining, though. Not a negative. Just lots of food for thought. Thank you, listeners.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Yes, thank you so much. This was wonderful.
You are welcome.
Right.
I thank you. Definitely.
I thank all you ladies.
Yes. Yes. So, everybody, have a great night and love yourself and love those around you. And keep on keeping on. That's my motto. Keep on keeping on. Good night, ladies.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.